Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Holy wisdom, holy word. So I'd like to start this morning with a story. There was once a magnificent greyhound dog. He was a champion dog racer. He was undefeated in all of his races. But one day, for no apparent reason, he just stopped racing right in the middle of the race. He didn't get injured or sick. He just decided that he was not going to run anymore. To entice him to keep on racing, his owner fed him his favorite dog food, enlarged his kennel area, and gave him more free time to play and roam. But none of these things worked. It wasn't until the owner went back and looked at the tape of his last race that he discovered why his prized greyhound dog had stopped racing. In his last race, his dog had run faster than he had ever run. So why did he stop running? In all greyhound dog races, a wooden rabbit is used as a lure to get the dogs to run. The rabbit is on the track and always stays just enough in front of the dogs that they chase wildly after it, hoping beyond hope that they can catch the rabbit. In this particular race, the dog ran so fast that he almost catches the wooden rabbit. He gets within inches of catching it. And the dog realizes for the first time that the rabbit is fake. Now, I can't really read the dog's mind, but I'm sure he's thinking, what is the point in racing if what I'm chasing after is not real? It's not worth the effort. He was a smart dog, and all he wanted to do was go home. And yet, I think so often in our lives, we chase after that which is not real. We get led down a path in life that is just not rewarding, not gratifying, not fulfilling. We chase after a goal that society says we need to accomplish if we want to be truly successful or happy or content. But the race only leads to disappointment. And in so many ways, that is where we meet up with the disciples this week in our scripture reading from Luke. Prior to meeting Jesus, the disciples had all lived rather ordinary lives. They were limited in what they might achieve in life because of their social class. Jesus comes along and tells them you can have full, rich, meaningful lives if you drop what you are doing and follow me. Forget what society says. Follow me. The disciples have been following Jesus for a few years now, and they're committed to following him no matter what. They are all in. The disciples Jesus chooses to follow him were, for the most part, poor and uneducated. They were on the lower rung of Jewish society. For the first time in their lives, they are part of an in crowd. For someone is showing interest in them and concerned about their well-being. But Jesus is just beginning to ask them to do things that they know they can't do. The disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. Increase our faith. I think that is a plea that we have probably all made to God at one time or another in our lives. The disciples are more like us than we may realize. They're willing to do what is reasonable and even a bit extraordinary to follow Jesus. They've left their homes and their jobs and their families to travel with their master. But now Jesus begins to ask the impossible tasks, and they don't know how to do them. As a matter of fact, they know they can't do them. But they want some blueprint, some clear manual that offers 7 steps for being a disciple. In short, they want to be transformed, but they don't really believe that they can be. They've been told by their society what they can and can't do with their lives. They know their place, and deep down inside, they're really not sure they want to be transformed. Jesus, in telling his disciples that they need more faith, but what he's really telling them, what he's really telling his disciples is to envision their reality, their lives in a whole new way, in a way that they had never experienced or thought of before. They have become so accustomed to seeing their world as it is that they cannot imagine the world as God wants it to be, as Jesus says it can be. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life when I wish I just had more faith. I wish I had been more confident that God would get me through the trial I was going through. Now, my guess that you too may have had those times and trials in your life where your faith in God just didn't seem adequate. We're just several days away from the 2-year anniversary of the fires in Sonoma County. For many of us, those were incredible times of trial. Even if you didn't lose your home, the trauma set many of us on edge. Many of us lost our homes and our possessions. We were left with almost nothing. The normal everyday lives were changed forever. 2 years later, some of us have rebuilt our homes. Good job. Hallelujah. Some are in the process of building. All right, we're getting there. Some of us are just getting started in rebuilding. Hang in there. We're still there with you. And some of us have moved to new homes or even new towns. For those that have moved, we sure do miss them. Home has taken on a whole new meaning. I know I have on more than one occasion in the last 2 years asked God to give me more faith. My wife Liz and I hope to be in our rebuilt home by the end of October, but I've been saying it'll be a month for about the last 4 months now, so we'll see. It has been a very long road and a long journey, but I have never looked so forward to coming home. I think in many ways, as a result of the fire, whether we lost our homes or not, we have all been forced to envision our reality, our lives, in a whole new way. And that is exactly what Jesus was asking his disciples to do as well. Jesus speaks in our scripture reading from Luke about having the faith of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds there is. Now, I have heard that many of the early European settlers of California, the Spaniards, planted the mustard seed as they made their way up the California coast. They planted the mustard seed as they traveled because it is a fast-growing, hardy seed that could grow most anywhere, in rocky soil, in sandy soil, in drought conditions, in wet weather. They used the mustard seed as a guide to get them back home. You see, as they traveled north into unknown, unfamiliar territory, the seeds sprouted and grew. As they turned south to return home, the mustard seeds, now small plants, guided them in their travels back home. Sometimes in life, we get to choose the path that we wish to take in our life. And sometimes the path we are forced to take is thrust upon us. But if you think about it, all of life is an act of letting go and moving on. We move from childhood into adolescence, from adolescence into our teenage years, from teenagers to young adults, from young adults into adulthood with spouses and children, to finally empty nesters and retirement. We so often long for what we once had or who we once were. We remember the good old days so fondly and so much long for them. As I have grown older, my memory doesn't always serve me so well. Perhaps you have that problem too. I doubt it, but maybe. I too recall the good old days, and sometimes I wish I could go back. But when I talk with my siblings and my old friends, sometimes their recollection of those good old days just doesn't quite line up with my memories. And I so often grudgingly acknowledge that they're probably right. The good old days were probably not all that much better than my life now. In fact, in many ways, my life has never been better. Not because of what I have or don't have, but because I've been able to see the new reality that Jesus was talking about in our reading from Luke. Home is a wonderful place, but home is where we make it. And when you chase after artificial dreams, we're only left with disappointment. These past 2 years, Liz and I have called home a modest 1,000 square foot home with 3 bedrooms and 2 very small bathrooms. It has been a cozy but comfortable place to call home. Several months ago, our younger daughter, Monica, who happens to be here this morning, and her husband, Jose, and our granddaughter, Wendy, moved in with us. They've moved back to Santa Rosa from San Francisco and are planning on staying in our house once we move back into our rebuilt home. Jose, her husband, is helping me rebuild our house. But in the meantime, we have 5 people sharing our home. And one of them is my 4-year-old granddaughter, Wendy. It has been cozy, really cozy, the 5 of us living together. But it has been so much fun seeing life on a daily basis from the perspective of a 4-year-old is truly wonderful. Coming home each night has never been better. Wendy is always there with a hug for Grandpa. Our reading from Lamentations this morning said, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the souls that seek him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." I have come to realize that we grow in faith as we act in faith. When we put our faith into action, our faith becomes much deeper and stronger. Every gift of God is strengthened by the exercise of it. And that is true of faith. Joseph Campbell said it so well. "The only question in life is whether or not you're going to answer a hearty yes to your adventure." on this first Sunday of October. Christian churches around the world all celebrate World Communion Sunday. From North America and Europe to Asia, Australia, and Africa, we will all celebrate the Lord's Supper today. It will be celebrated in many ways, with different kinds of bread and wine, in small home churches and massive cathedrals, from open-air amphitheaters to intimate little chapels. We will remember the symbolism and sacredness of communion, of being in community with one another, with people of all colors and nationalities. We'll celebrate the diversity of God's creation and the unity of all humanity. We will say and even sing, Alleluia. And then worship will be over, and we will leave this place, and that faith that was so unified and so strong, and we will encounter the world outside these walls. Will we be changed as a result of our encounter with God and one another, or will we just return to what it has been, to the normal routines of life? Will we return to our safe, comfortable homes, or will we listen to that whisper of God and experience home in a whole new way? The disciples feared what Jesus was asking them to do. They were uncertain if they were capable of doing what he was asking of them, to look at life from a new perspective and be all in. He was asking of them to look at home from a new vantage point. We are all survivors of some sort of fire that has occurred in our lives, whether it was an actual fire or a metaphorical one. We have all gotten burned. The question we have to ask ourselves each and every day is, how will my faith impact how I choose to live my life today? Will we chase after that wooden rabbit or discover the true purpose and meaning in life by following the path of the mustard seed, the path that Jesus has blazed before us, the path that leads home? Oh Lord, give me more faith. Let's answer with a hearty yes to the adventure. Amen.